Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Fourth Official Podcast. We have a mini show by myself. It's a solo episode. Unfortunately, we couldn't work things out to get a full show with the full cast going. So in the spirit of keeping the content fresh and updated, decided to give you this mini show today. We'll touch on some of the topics around Orlando City as they continue on in their season. Their playoff chances continue to fall. And they go on the road for four games this weekend. We'll talk about Jason Kreis, his status with the club, whether or not he should be on the hot seat, whether or not he actually might be on the hot seat. So we'll get into that a little bit. We'll discuss, we'll touch on the Orlando Pride, and we might even mention the U.S. national team as they get set to host Costa Rica in a World Cup qualifier this Friday at Red Bull Arena. So let's get started with Orlando City now. They're coming off a 2-1 loss to the Vancouver Whitecaps over the weekend. Another disappointing loss, another disappointing result. The Lions finished this two-game homestand with just 1 point after drawing the Columbus Crew 2 weeks ago. Tommy Redding with an own goal in the 9th minute. Breck Shea with a second goal for Vancouver early in the second half. Kyle Larin comes off the bench for Orlando, scores, but it's not enough for the Lions, who just completely outplayed the Vancouver Whitecaps for the entirety of the match. Vancouver, I mean, if you look on paper, you take the goal, final scores out of it, you would think Orlando City dominated that game by the score line. They didn't. They got beat on bad luck. Jason Kreis called it bad luck. He says that this team is facing bad luck after bad luck after bad luck week after week. They're just not catching lucky breaks. While that may or may not be the case, the Lions are just, they're struggling. They've been in free fall since the beginning of May. They've fallen all the way down to 8th place. In the Eastern Conference standings, they are now closer to the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings table than they are to the red line. Sorry, 9th place. They are trailing Philadelphia now on a tiebreaker, which is goal differential. So the Lions are now in 9th place. They're only 2 points up on the New England Revolution, who they face this weekend. And they are only 3 points up on DC United, who they will face next weekend in DC. I'll be there for that one. So we'll have some more for that. But the Lions are struggling right now. There is no doubt about that. They go, you know, it's the same old story, really. They can't score. They haven't scored more than a goal in a game since June 19th or June 17th against the Montreal Impact. Their defense, I can't say they're playing bad defensively. It's just the problem is the team is not scoring enough goals to keep up with them. Their goal differential is now to negative 12. That is the second worst in the Eastern Conference. It's actually 5th or 6th worst in the entire league. And the pressure is continuing to mount on Jason Kreis, who is still believing in his side. The team's playoff chances are down to just 2% now. That's better than only DC United in the Eastern Conference, according to MLSsoccer.com, for whatever you take those predictions and those playoff probabilities to be worth. But it doesn't look good. The Lions have 7 games left this season. 4 of them are on the road. 3 of them are at home. I'm sorry, 5 of them are on the road. 2 of them are at home. They still have the FC Dallas and Columbus at home. But it does not favor the Lions as they go on the road to New England this weekend. Then they'll follow that up with DC. Then they'll go to Atlanta, to their brand new home up there in Atlanta. And then they'll finish it off across the country in Portland before coming back home to take on the Columbus Crew. The hot seat is heating up for Jason Kreis, regardless of whether you or not you want to believe that. I'm sorry, they also have New England at home. That's who they come home to face on the 27th. So they have, you know, whether or not you want to believe Jason Kreis is on the hot seat, I don't think he should be. I think that he's in the first full year of his gig here. He's a year and a half in, just a little bit over a year now. And the job is far from finished. The fact of the matter is this. Kreis took over a team that was not very good. Orlando City was not good in 2016, just as they were not very good in 2015. That's to be expected with the expansion teams. He did work this offseason. GM Nicky Bulich did work this offseason to fix this team. And as Kreis said after the game against Columbus, this team was built to be better than it was last year. The, pl- plan here was a long-term build. The plan here was to make the team better this year, to go into this offseason and make them good enough that they should expect to be a playoff team in 2018, which right now, I think they are setting themselves up to be in that position. Now, when you look at where Orlando City stood in the preseason, the predictions, the experts, they didn't favor the Lions for several reasons because, one, they didn't completely address all of their big issues, and two, you didn't know how these new pieces are obviously going to make the team better. You can only speculate. They jumped out of the gates hot. Everybody thought, all right, well, maybe this is coming together a lot faster than Jason Christ expected, than Nicky Bulich expected, than pretty much anybody else had expected. And then they fell back down to earth, and they kept falling, and they kept falling. And this is who Orlando City is. They went into the month of May. They were the best team in the league. They were off to one of the hottest starts in Major League Soccer history. They go on the road. They lose to Toronto. They go on the road a few days later in Houston, and they lose there, and they get embarrassed. We start to think, all right, well, maybe that's not Orlando City. Maybe it's just the case of they went on to the road, two tough road opponents in a span of 5 days. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But then the slide, they kept sliding. It just got worse and worse. From Houston, there was the game against Sporting Kansas City. That was their first non-home win. They went to San Jose, they lost a game there, they lost a late one there. They didn't lose it, but they gave up an equalizing goal, so they settled for a point. They hosted New York City FC, they got embarrassed at home. They go to Minnesota, another loss. DC United, they come home and they beat May 31st. That was their last home win, was against DC United on May 31st. And then from there, you have the draw against Chicago, the draw against Montreal. They lose at Seattle, or it was a draw at Seattle. They lose convincingly at Chicago. They beat RSL on the road. They lose to Toronto. They draw Atlanta. They lose to Atlanta, then they draw Atlanta. Another loss. And then another loss. And then a draw. And then another loss. And this is where we are. So, but to my point, Kreis, he's had two off seasons or two transfer windows to build this team. Orlando City is by no means a finished product. Yes, I would agree that with the talent that they have on this roster, this team should be playing a little bit better. There should be no reason, or you can't put blame on Jason Kreis for Kyle Lehrer and not scoring goals. He's been in a slump since the beginning of May. He scored one goal over that time. That was against Montreal a couple weeks ago. They bring in Dom Dwyer. He still hasn't scored since he's arrived, which his scoring streak also dates back to the beginning of May. Kaká, he's a $7 million player. You got to play him. Yeah, he's 35 years old. He doesn't look sharp at all times. You can argue that the team was a lot better before he arrived or before he returned to the starting lineup from his injury. They won 6 of 7 games without Kaká in the starting lineup to begin the season. But he's just a part of a much bigger issue, and that this team is not complete. You know, for all that Will Johnson brings you, for all that Antonio Nocerino and Christian Aguita have been able to bring you, for all that Giles Barnes has been able to bring you this season, there needs to be more. I do believe that this team is going to have a big offseason. Should Kreis be around? I think regardless of whether or not Kreis is around, Antonio Nocerino's contract is up. I don't think that the team is going to re-sign him, at least not for the money that he's making. He hasn't been nearly worth that for even as well as he's played since he's started to settle into himself here in Orlando. You look at a lot of roster depth. I say dead weight at this point. I don't think Rafael Ramos is coming back. I don't see Kevin Austin coming back. I wouldn't be shocked if Sepp Hines doesn't come back. He's on player options. Or he's on team options, so they cannot bring him back. I think, you know, the sale of Kyle Lahren, does that happen this offseason? Orlando City will finally be into a position where they can recoup the most money that they can for him. So I think those rumors start to ramp up a lot as we get closer into January. Christian Aguita, Carlos Rivas, what do you do with those guys? Aguita's been great. Do you capitalize on that? Do you sell him? Do you get some of that money back? Carlos Rivas, is he worth the frustrations that you've had with him over the last 3 years? Because it's been the same story with this guy. He's talented. He's super talented. He can be such a great player for Orlando City, but we're not seeing that consistently. This year is probably the most we've seen that from Carlos Rivas. And Jason Christ gives him the start against Vancouver over the weekend because he's playing better than Larin, and he wants to see that tandem of pace up top with Dom Dwyer. And Rivas goes out there and has possibly his worst game of the season. 5 shots, none of them on target. And that's been a problem with him. He takes these shots. He's a very trigger-happy player, I would say, with the ball. He can't keep it down on target. He has 5 goals this year, and that's a career high. So, I mean, you have to give him applause for that. You can't knock him for that. He's produced more this season than he ever has. But he's a designated player, and this is his 3rd year in the league. So is this the standard that we can expect? Is this what we want, to just go into every season, have our designated player just get a little bit better every year, but not quite live up to his potential? And that's a question that Jason Christ and the front office are going to have to ask themselves. Christ has a lot of belief and confidence in Rivas, and he's had that since the start of the season. But in his mind, has Rivas repaid that? And he's played well. You can't knock him for that. He's, for the most part, he's played well, and he's shown a lot of his potential this season. But is that worth keeping with moving forward? Especially if you don't sell Kyle Larin. If you sell Kyle Larin, then maybe you need to keep him on, because then you pair him up there with Dom Dwyer, and you go into next season hoping you get the exact same thing you got out of this season, is that those two really connect at the top of that 4-4-2, and that they become a pretty dangerous duo up top. Giles Barnes, he's another guy that is on the question mark. Do you bring him back? He's making a lot of money like Antonio Nocerino, and I think Barnes has been a solid player. He's played every game this season for Orlando City. And a lot of people don't realize that, but that's true. He makes a lot of money. But is he worth that? Is he worth taking up that cap space on your roster? Is he worth that allocation money to pay him down from a designated player spot? It goes the same thing with Antonio Nocerino. Those guys make a lot of money. If you're not bringing them back, you're clearing a lot of cap space off the roster. And I think one of the big things in Major League Soccer that is so easily overlooked is how important and how valuable in a league like this is how valuable cap space can be. And that's where the target allocation money, especially with Orlando sending so much to Sporting Kansas City for Dom Dwyer, how much more valuable does it become to have that cap space to maybe trade Barnes in the league to recoup some allocation money back? The same thing with any of these guys, really. If you're trading a guy like Kyle Larin, that's $650,000 in allocation money that you get back. The same if you were to sell guys like a Carlos Rivas, like a Christian Aguita. So that becomes the bigger question this offseason, is not just how Orlando clears the roster, but it's how they do it, not who they're doing it with. Because they need to recoup some of that. And even with this influx of targeted allocation money that we expect to see coming into the league, they have to replenish that somehow. And it's a very vital asset for them. I lost my thought. But Christ, to the larger point, back again. I don't think he deserves to be on the hot seat. Now, we have seen with this team, and we know they have a written history of the front office being erratic in its decision making. Obviously, we saw that with the Armando Canero hire. We saw that with the Adrian Heath firing. You see that, you know, this team came into Major League Soccer with a three-year plan, and they abandoned that a year and a half in when they fired Adrian Heath. So it's not like it would be out of the realm of possibility. Even though Christ is guaranteed on his contract through 2022, according to Paul Tenorio, it would not be out of the realm of possibility that Jason Christ is not coaching this team by 2020. It's just not. It's very possible. And I think that's where some of the angst sets in, because I think Kreis is a good manager. I think he's a good coach. What he did at RSL was not a mirage. What happened at New York City was not the reality. He walked into a bad situation. He wasn't given the appropriate amount of time. And he was forced with a couple of DPs on his hand that just didn't work out for him. Do you think he had the want to play a guy like Andre Pirlo or Frank Lampard? Do you think that Frank Lampard situation was anything like Jason Kreis wanted it to be? No. I mean, New York City is a special case in so many forms because they have the resources, they have the ability to do a lot of what they want over there. You have a guy like David Villa that also is a massive help, as he's probably going to go on to win his second MLS MVP award this season. Don't fire the coach. Should Orlando City be playing a little bit better? I think so. I think maybe. But when you look at the run of things, it's been a large ranging factor. Like I said, I don't think this team's ready to compete. I think next year we go in, you have a guy like Dom Dwyer on your team, Yoshi Utone, who's been phenomenal since he arrived. I think he's going to be a huge part of the team going forward. What you do with Kaká, that's going to be another big issue with the team moving into the offseason, and how they prepare themselves for next year. Whether or not he's here or not can really determine how this roster shakes up. You got, you know, that back line, I think I'm really confident in that back line moving forward. You have Jonathan Spector, Tommy Redding is learning, but he's there. Leonardo Pereira has shown good things. You have Jose Aja, who's also, again, shown great things so far this year. Scott Sutter's been fantastic. I think he's been one of the most underrated pickups of the season. A guy like Will Johnson, again, he brings you a lot. I don't know that he's a big piece of this team, but he's certainly a piece that you want to have. Christian Aguita, if you drop him lower, you make him that number 8 or that number 6, you put him right in front of the back line, I think he can do great things. Yoshi on the left. You bring in somebody else to play the right side of a midfield, somebody with a creating and attacking presence that can really move things forward for the team. And then you get a real number 10. You get somebody that can take the ball, that can make passes, that can create scoring opportunities. They don't have that. They might have that in Yoshi if you really want to put him there, but I think Kreis has seen him more as a left-side player, and he succeeded in that role. So the team goes to New England this season. It's going to be a tough weekend for the Lions. They're playing not only during an international break. This game wasn't really originally scheduled for the second week of March. A blizzard knocked that game out, postponed it till this weekend. The Lions now are going to be, they're kicking off a 4-game road trip, as I've mentioned, and it's going to be a tough one. They're going to be without Kyle Larin, who was called up for a national team friendly with Canada. Jonathan Spector, he is still out nursing a knee injury. Yoshi Utone was called up by Peru for World Cup qualifiers. Christian Aguita, who we found out on Tuesday, will be suspended for this game because of yellow card accumulation. What had happened there was, if you're not following this closely, there was a yellow card handed out in the game against Vancouver. Everybody thought it was for Tommy Redding, but it was actually for Christian Aguita for a dissent after he kicked the ball and hit the referee. So he got a yellow card for that. That hit his accumulation mark, and now he's suspended for this weekend. And the team will also be without Will Johnson, who is still dealing with an ankle injury. So, 5 big names right there for the Lions not playing this weekend. It's going to be a really tough one. New England is another team that really can't afford to lose, per se. They're in kind of the same boat as Orlando. They still believe that they can make the playoffs. Whether or not that happens, their playoff chances are pretty low as well. So, I mean, it is what it is at this point. So the Lions go to New England. That game kicks off around 7 o'clock on Saturday night. You can watch it on TV27 or MLSsoccer.com/MLSLive. So the Orlando Pride, we'll touch on them real quick. They are still playing very well. They're still tied for 4th place in the NWSL standings. They're tied on points with Chicago, but the tiebreaker currently goes to Chicago. They come back home this weekend. They start a 3-game road stand after going to Kansas City last week, and Alex Morgan scored the late winner in that one, and they defeated FCKC 2-1. It was a pretty thrilling match late there. You know, Kansas City really, the Pride really bunkered down. Kansas City was applying that pressure, and they kept going. You kept expecting them, like, all right, well, they're going to have to score an equalizer eventually. They didn't. The Pride held on. They got another big win. They've won, I believe, 4 in a row. 4 straight wins now for the Pride. They'll make it. They'll go for 5 this weekend. They're playing fantastic soccer. Tom Sormani has done an amazing job turning this team around, and I think a lot of that credit obviously goes to the return of Alex Morgan and her partnership up top with Marta. So the Pride come home this weekend. They play Boston, the Boston Breakers, who they just beat in Boston a couple weeks ago. You know, things are getting tough for the Pride now. They've got only a handful of games left this season. They're still trying to finish above the playoff line, make their first playoff appearance. Listen, Orlando City is out of town for the next month, basically the next three or four weeks. Go out to the stadium this weekend, buy a ticket, support the Pride, cheer them on. They are playing fantastic. They deserve the support. They deserve the fans out there to really give them everything that they have earned so far this season. They are a fantastic team. They put a lot out there. They're an entertaining product to watch, and I guarantee you it will not be a night wasted for you guys. So go out there. Go to Orlando City Stadium on Saturday night. They're playing the Boston Breakers. It's going to be a fun one, I promise. Get out there and support them. We'll wrap this up. The United States hosts Costa Rica in a World Cup qualifier this weekend. It is at Red Bull Arena, the first major game, I guess, in the New York area in a long time for the national team. They have played at Red Bull Arena before, but those were all in just, you know, friendlies and whatnot. This is a World Cup qualifier at Red Bull Arena. The team will play there on Friday night, then travel to Honduras on Tuesday. As it stands, Mexico is currently leading the Hex group with 14 points. Costa Rica is in second with 11 points, and the United States trails behind that with 8 points. The top three teams will qualify for the World Cup. The fourth place team, which is currently Panama, at 7 points. Panama, who will also be in Orlando, next month in Orlando. They'll be in October, October 6th. That would be a World Cup qualifier at Orlando City Stadium. The United States will host that one. They have 7 points, so the top three qualify. The fourth place team will play in a playoff game. I think it's a home and away series for World Cup qualification. That would be either against Australia or Uzbekistan, when I understand correctly. So it's going to be a challenging weekend. The U.S. has to get 6 points from this. They have to win on Friday night. They have to win in Honduras. It's not going to be easy, either of these games, but it's certainly something for Bruce Arena's team, who has not lost since Arena took over early in 2017. That's our show for today. We will be back, hopefully, with a full show next week. I can't make any promises, but that is certainly what we are shooting for. We might do something after the New England game on Saturday night. I won't promise that either, but, anything can happen. All right, so for the fourth official podcast, I'm Gavin Eubank. But before I go, I would just want to make sure that you guys go to our iTunes page. You don't have to subscribe, but at least give us a decent rating. Give us a nice comment that promotes the show, that promotes the page, that lets other people know who we are, so we can continue to drive content and get a little bit bigger for you guys and make this a more worthwhile experience while we continue here to do this. We got some exciting things coming up in the future, and we're not going to try to disappoint you guys. So for the fourth official, I am Gavin Eubank. Have a great rest of your weekend, and enjoy the show.